The very first question that's asked of parents for child dedication is, in as much as God has given you this child, do you consecrate them to God and his service, and do you publicly acknowledge that in so doing, you are submitting yourselves to God's will for this child, whatever it may involve? If so, answer, we do. Now, I haven't gotten my days mixed up. I don't think it's Mother's Day when we'll be dedicating several children. But I begin with this question as we open up the Word of God this morning, as I'd ask parents and even grandparents further. How would you feel and react if your child or grandchild came to you telling you that God had called them to move across the world to share the gospel, not just for a week, but for an undetermined amount of time? You'd barely get to see them in person anymore. The safety and the wealth that we enjoy here in the States would no longer be a reality for them. How would you take such a decision? Would you be supportive? Would you try and talk them out of it? Would you beg them to reconsider? And of course, this isn't the only thing that is meant by this first child dedication question, but it very well could refer to this, as it says, do you consecrate them to God and his service? You are submitting yourselves to God's will, not your will, God's will for this child, whatever it may involve. Now, this message isn't only for parents, for grandparents, or for children, or grandchildren, but for any member of this congregation. I would ask you, how would you respond to a group of people that you're close to here at church, people you've worshiped with for many, many years? Okay, you've had a close bond with them, you've shared meals with them. How would you respond if they were sent out by the church to start another church a couple hours away, where your relationship to them, it would be distant at best? How would you handle a leader that you've grown close to, has maybe poured into you, had a significant impact upon your life, being called by God to be a missionary in another country? Back to parents and grandparents, would you approve if your son felt called by God to be a pastor, meaning they would no longer worship in your church, but another church in the Bible Fellowship denomination? And I ask these questions as we find a passage where we see some individuals taken from a church, separation between a church and some of its people. And I believe we see a motto in many ways for the church today, our church, Lebanon BFC. Such a passage, as we think about our text, the text that Pastor Herb read for us, such a passage in its application, I believe, will cause us to think about our church in a different way. Such a passage in its application, I think, might stretch us a bit. Such a passage in its application will cause us to make tough decisions, go against our natural feelings and instincts when we think about church. Such a passage will cause us to think about our families and our relationships in the church differently. So where we're at in the book of Acts, okay, this morning brings us back, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, actually it was about a month ago, it was either right before or right after Easter, we're brought back this morning to the church of Antioch. As I said, about a month ago, we studied Acts 11, 19 through 30, and we saw the birth of the church of Antioch. And we saw how it began out of the evangelistic mission of the church being fulfilled, that there was persecution, and so the Christians scattered from Jerusalem, and they didn't scatter and hide or keep quiet, but they scattered and they spread the gospel, and they made it all the way up to Antioch, where we saw the word was received. There were believers, and a church was formed. It was started as Christians gathered together, and we saw Barnabas and Saul being very much so a help to them, kind of acting as leaders, or as leaders teaching them the Word of God as this church began its first moments as Christians. And our passage ended last week. It brought us back to Barnabas and Saul after about 2 weeks or two passages or so. In Barnabas and Saul, we found they fulfilled what they had been sent out by the church of Antioch to do, and that was to bring monetary aid, to bring relief to the churches in Judea. And we saw last week, they come back to the church of Antioch. Saw this in Acts 12, 25. It said, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. And so as we turn to our passage this morning, I want to start off with what I would say is the key verse of our text. I want to zero in on verse 2, and we're going to actually come back to it a fair amount of times throughout our message this week, as it's pretty pivotal to our text. But in Acts 13, verse 2, we find people sent from the church. They are to leave the church. They are to go out from the church, as it says in Acts 13, 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So this verse introduces us to Barnabas and Saul being sent out, called to go out, separate from their church where they were at, those who they knew, those who they were with. And so as we consider verse 2, and we're going to consider the rest of the verses that were read for us, and as we consider what does it mean to be sent out, or what does it mean for Barnabas and Saul to be sent out, and ultimately what this means for Lebanon BFC today, the theme of our passage will be the church is God's sending agency and is used to produce more churches in fulfilling the task of Acts 1:8. The church is God's sending agency, and it's used to produce more churches, ultimately fulfilling the task of Acts 1:8. So as you hear such a theme, you may wonder, what in the world is that supposed to mean? It's a loaded theme. There is a lot there. We're going to unpack it as we dig into these verses and see what the Word of God has for us this morning. But we're going to consider several points as we work our way through this text, and especially think about this key verse. We're going to start with, where does the sending happen? Second, who does the sending? What is the purpose of the sending? And then fourth, we'll consider how does the sending happen? So this will kind of be our outline, or this will be our outline, the 4 points we'll make our way through. And as you can see, we are using the PowerPoint this morning, so you're certainly welcome to have your Bibles open, but I will have the scripture up on the screen. But I'm using a PowerPoint as I want to display several things, and I think it's going to help us handle this text better in the way in which we're going to study it. But we'll start with this first question. Where does the sending happen? Maybe another way of saying it is, where are Barnabas and Saul sent out from? Very beginning of our text says in Acts 13:1, "Now there were in the church at Antioch." And we'll just stop there for now, as it introduces us to the setting. It introduces us to the context in which we find verse 2 as it comes, and as we'll study in a little bit. But this first point really is going to be a short point for us, as it's going to be filled out and elaborated on as we make our way through the text, find out more. But we start with a very, I would say, important point, and that is the start is the Church of Antioch. The start of this sending is, or it happens within, a local church. It's a gathering of believers that people are sent out of and from. And it's important as we continue through the text to start here and make a point of where this sending takes place and is experienced within, as this isn't always where the sending takes place today. Okay, the sending that we're going to consider today and the fulfilling of Acts 1:8 is at times detached from the church today. It may either start with someone individually deciding that they'll do something and the church really has no part, no input, no say. Or it can happen maybe from a parachurch ministry or by getting a sending agency involved. And the church might get a tip of the hat. They probably will be asked for support, but it doesn't start there. The church really has no involvement in the sending. So it's important to see from the start of our text, as we think about this sending, that the sending is a local church. Move to the second point, and that is, who does the sending? If you look with me at Acts 13, verse 2, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Who does the sending? Okay, there's two answers. Two answers. One is supreme. Ultimately, I would say this is the sender. And the second has an important part and is intimately involved, but it all goes back to God. God is the first and foremost sender. He's supreme in the sending. He's ultimately the one that initiates here. He's the ultimate initiator, and it's specifically God the Holy Spirit. As it says again, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So God's the source here. He gets the credit in this verse for the action that's going to take place in the rest of our passage and even the chapters to come. Though it's Barnabas and Saul, okay, they're the ones that are highlighted here. They're the ones that are the focus as we think about the people. They cannot be given the credit for coming up with this task that they'll do. It's not that they were choosing to do this, or that this was always their dreams to do what they're about to do. But we see this verse gives the credit to the Holy Spirit, who chooses this and sets them on such a trajectory. And even further, it says at the end of verse 2, or the Holy Spirit says at the end of verse 2, "For the work to which I have called them." So not to the work to which Barnabas and Saul decided for themselves, but for the work to which I have called them. God had called them to such a work. God had called them to a certain work. God had specific plans for Barnabas and Saul. How they exactly came to know of these plans is not revealed to us in this chapter. We kind of have a chapter or a passage that is scarce in detail, like our passage last week, but we will find very soon what it was that they were called to. We're not left in the dark about that. But there is someone else. As I said, there's two answers to this question of who does the sending. There's someone else involved. Certainly God is the determiner of what Barnabas and Saul would do. He is the start, but something I would say is heavily involved in this passage, and that is the church, and more specifically, the leaders of the church. As it says in Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Who are they? Who are the ones that ultimately the Holy Spirit speaks to? It's not just Barnabas and Saul. And we have to look back at the first verse of our text, and it reveals who they are. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." So we're told of those who were prophets and teachers, those who spoke the word of God, and all of these are said to be in the church of Antioch. That was their church. That's where they were at. That is where they were serving. And two of the names we know, and they ultimately are the ones that are sent out. It's Barnabas that starts the list, Saul that ends the list, but the rest we haven't been introduced to. And we'll consider them briefly a little later on in the message. But we do know that Barnabas and Saul had a leading role, an instructive role in this church. As we think about our passage several weeks back in Acts 11, 19 through 30, and I'll read just a part of it for us. In Acts 11, 22 to 26, we find this role that Barnabas and Saul had. It says, "The report of this," speaking of the reception of the gospel, the belief in the gospel, "the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarshish to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." So as we see in verse 22, Barnabas was originally actually sent by the church of Jerusalem, a local church in Jerusalem, to go to the church of Antioch, kind of showing this theme. Is it not unique? It's not the first time that we have seen such points, such an emphasis in the book of Acts. But we see Barnabas, and also Saul, as Barnabas went and got Saul to partner with him in this ministry. They took a leading role in this church, as they are the ones exhorting, they are the ones instructing, teaching the word of God to these new Christians, to this baby church. Encouraged them, taught them, spent time with them, as we're told of a whole year that they spent with them, helping them grow in their Christian faith and their walk with God. So the fact that they are put alongside these three other men, okay, as our passage begins with these five men, Barnabas, Saul, these three other men, I take this to mean that these are their leaders. These five are the ones that are over the church of Antioch, these five men. So that is who they are in verse 2. Okay, it's the leaders of the church, it's the prophets, the teachers, these five men that we were introduced to. And we're told that that it's while they were worshiping, while they were fasting, that the Holy Spirit spoke. What exactly they were doing is a little uncertain. As this word worship, so worshiping the Lord, okay, it can speak in a very general way of a service to the Lord, of serving the Lord in a multitude of different ways, in various ways and work, or I think this, I would lean towards more so this way, it can speak of a particular service that priests carried out in their leading role in the worship of Israel. We have it used this way in the book of Hebrews. We have it used this way in the book of Luke with Zechariah the priest. Speaking of the ministering of priests, and here we have leaders in the church ministering and serving in ways as leaders. And we also have this word fasting, that they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. And fasting and not eating and refraining from eating often is accompanied with prayer. But the fact that fasting and praying are both spoken of in verse 3, as we'll get to in a little bit, but they aren't mentioned together here. We're only given fasting here without the prayer. It's a little uncertain as to exactly what they were doing. Was prayer involved? So due to this, I take this at the very least, as we think about these leaders, what were they doing when the Holy Spirit spoke to them? Take it at the very least, generally, that these leaders were serving the Lord in their leadership and in their teaching roles. And it seems that they were even gathered together in this time as the Holy Spirit speaks to them. They all hear it. So it very well could have been, okay, if prayer is included, it could have been a specific time of not eating, of prayer, that this word came as we have it from the Holy Spirit. So it was through the leadership of the church that Barnabas and Saul are sent out. Okay, it was revealed not just to Barnabas and Saul as we think about this. It didn't come to them individually, but it was revealed to those who spoke the word of God in the church, who oversaw this church. And I believe this should speak volumes to us that God tells the leaders this. He could have easily just told Barnabas and Saul, but he includes the rest of the leaders. And not only is God giving them on what he was doing, but God calls them to be an active participant in what he's doing. As we look again at what he commands them, the Holy Spirit doesn't just say, hey, Barnabas and Saul are going to be leaving soon, or he doesn't just say, I've called Barnabas and Saul to a certain task, but if you look at verse 2 again, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. It's a direct command to the leadership. It's a direct command to these five men, okay, or the three men that are alongside them. Set apart for me, meaning set aside, distinguish, appoint for me and my purposes, Barnabas and Saul. So God, the Holy Spirit, is calling the leaders of this church to commission them to fulfill the God's purposes. So it wasn't the leaders determining what Barnabas and Saul would do. Okay, that's not what's going on here, but God makes it clear to them. And the leaders are to facilitate. They're to make sure it happens, support it, back it to the church, and have Barnabas and Saul follow the Lord's calling on their life. And we're going to see this dual calling as we think about these two that are sending. We see this dual calling in Acts 13, verses 3. And forward, it says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. First part, we get the church, or the elders, sent them off, it says in verse 3 at the end. And then it ultimately was God, the Holy Spirit, as it comes in verse 4 and says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, God uses and directs through his church to send out his missionaries. What this passage brings out, as we think about this second point, this second question, is such missionary endeavors are to be callings of the Lord, not rooted in someone's own desire, not rooted in the church or the leaders of the church's opinion, but it begins with God's calling, God's making it clear. I've given a message, actually it was last summer, so it was about a year ago, from the book of Amos, as we thought about the call of a prophet and even further, the call of a pastor. And I'd encourage you, as we think about how God calls, how does he make it clear? You could look back at such a message to help you discern God's call and how he calls, as we think about him calling Barnabas and Saul here. But it's good for all of us to be open to the Lord's call on our lives. And I would ask you, is God calling you to such a work as we find in this passage? Is God calling you to spread his name across seas? Is God calling you to be part of a church plant in a foreign nation, to men especially, or to men specifically? Is God calling you to be a pastor? Men, is God calling you to be a church planter? Husbands and wives, is God calling you and your family to spread the gospel to another country? And alongside the Lord's call, as we find in this passage, I believe we see very clearly in this passage that the elders of the church should be involved in such missionary callings. Okay, they could speak into someone's discerning a call. As I said, they don't come up with it. Okay, they don't choose it. God does that. But they could help someone discern their call. Someone could come to the elders asking how they could be used of the Lord and help them consider how God might use them. The leaders of a church should be actively seeking and completely open to how the Lord is working in the lives of his people and whom he might be sending out. So if you discern such a call upon your life, I'd encourage you to speak with me, and it very well could be something that should be brought before the elders of this church. Third, what is the purpose of the sending? Okay, it's ultimately to do what God had given them to do. If you look with me at Acts 13:2, as I said, this is a key verse, going to keep coming back to it, as there is a lot in it. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. This is where we answer the question of what did God call them to? Okay, did he make it clear? What were they to do? We know from Acts 9:15 through 16 what the Lord in general had called Saul to. It had said, but the Lord said to him, speaking of Ananias, going to Saul, revealing what God was calling him to do, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. That's pretty general. Carry my name to the Gentiles, the kings, the children of Israel. Saul knew that much. He knew he was going to be a witness. He knew he'd be a missionary or one to go out in some sense with the gospel. But it seems there was a more specific work that God had revealed, had called Barnabas and Saul to, that we are not given in this text. But Acts 14, so skipping a chapter ahead and actually at the end of Barnabas and Saul's time of being sent out, we get a very important, I would say, passage and ultimately verse in 26 that helps us understand this work that they were called to. It says in Acts 14:25, and when they had spoken the word of Perga, they went down to Italia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Okay, if you think back to look back at our verse, the Holy Spirit spoke of the work that he had chosen, that he had called them to. And then here in verse 26, again, it's a general word, but it's specific here when it talks about the work. We get this work spoken of again. So what we find between Acts 13:2 and Acts 14:26 is this work that God had revealed to them, God had called them, he desired for them to fulfill. It reveals what the Holy Spirit specifically called them to. So I want to look ahead and just do really a brief overview of what of what God had called them to. We're going to look a lot more further at these passages in the weeks to come as we study them. But the first thing I want to bring out that we find that God had called them to is first that they were called to and sent out to travel to other cities and countries across seas proclaiming the gospel. We see this again and again and again in the verses in the next two chapters to come. And we start with the end of our text. This morning in Acts 13:5, we find it. It says, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. And they keep on going. It's not just that one instance. They keep on going. In Acts 13:14 through 16, we find it again. It says, but when they went on from Perga and went and came to Antioch and Pisidia, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, speaking of Barnabas, Saul, saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. So Paul, being Saul, stood up and motioning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. And then he goes on to proclaim the word of God, the gospel. We see it again in Acts 14:1. Just keep on going. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. Again, bringing forth the gospel. Acts 14:6-7, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, into the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Acts 14:20-21, when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And then lastly, in Acts 14:24-25, then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Italia. So what the Holy Spirit had called them to do was to continue to fulfill more of Jesus' commission to his disciples. So what we find Barnabas and Saul doing is what we find Jesus had set out the disciples to do. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. They are starting to go there. They're starting to go there. And here's just two maps to give you a sense of what we just read over. And I can't see it from up here. The orange line, if you can pick out the orange line, it starts right at Antioch. There we go. That's where they started. And these verses I just read, actually, sorry, it's not the orange line. It's the blue line here. So they go from Antioch, they travel here to Cyprus, share the gospel to several cities there on Cyprus. They come up here, and they keep on going here, and then the orange is their return journey. But to all of these places that are marked, and I'll have another map to show us, these are the places they went. That is how long they traveled, which would have been a considerable amount of time. Just here's another map that you can maybe read a little bit easier, the places that they went, to Antioch, to Salamis, to Paphos, and it keeps on going to the different places that they shared the gospel, just to give you a little bit of a visual. But there's another part of the work that I want to bring out, and that is the second work going hand in hand with the gospel being proclaimed, is that they went out into these places that they went that we just saw on the map. They started churches. Barnabas and Saul, they didn't just proclaim the gospel. Okay, they didn't just see people come to faith and then they let them go on their way to live their lives individually, but churches were being set up in these places that they were sharing the gospel, that believers or that people came to faith, believed the gospel, and as they did so, churches were formed. Christians were gathered. They were assembled. That's what the word church means, an assembly, a gathering. How do we know this? Acts 14:21, we already read, but I'll give us verse 22 and 23. And we find this is made very, very clear. It says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So places that they had shared the gospel, people had come to believe. And then it says this in verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Here we get this word, church. Speaking of the believers that were in that city and were assembled together. Barnabas and Saul were called of God to preach the gospel and see churches set up. So here we see another component of the church's place when it comes to the mission of God. Not only is it to be where missionaries are sent from, but they are sent for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel and planting churches. As Barnabas and Saul saw people come to faith, gathering together to form a body of believers who strengthened, taught them in their walk with God, there was organization. Leaders were set up as elders were appointed in the churches. This text shows us to varying degrees that the church is central to missions. So this should refine our view in who is being sent out. This should refine our view on what God's calling looks like as we consider the God's purposes from the book of Acts. Those that we send out to proclaim the gospel are to be doing so out of a church and with the plan to start a church. So it will be those who can teach the scriptures. It will be those who will be of great assistance to the church. It will be pastors that we are sending out to see Acts 1:8 further fulfilled. Now we come to the last aspect of this sending, and that's how does the sending happen? Okay, we're going to answer this question kind of in two different directions or in two different ways. One is how the sending happens in terms of how is it possible? How could they? And then two, the second way we'll look at or answer this question is in terms of in what manner were they sent? So first, jumped ahead. How is it possible? I believe our text makes it clear from what is given in the very first verse before we're told of this sending. It says in Acts 13:1 again, now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So this is how our passage begins. We're given these five men right from the start of our passage that Barnabas, and it's shown to us that Barnabas and Saul, they weren't the only ones in this church who spoke the word of God. And in chapter 11, we may have thought that would have been the case as they are the ones highlighted, but we're told there are further men who can teach, further men who are prophets, further men who are leaders, showing that Barnabas and Saul, they weren't the only leaders in this church. There were three others, and we could see by the descriptions, they were a diverse bunch. They weren't all alike. They weren't all from the same background, weren't all from the same ethnicity, but there was different countries, different backgrounds, one even with close political connections. And it's unclear where these men came from, at the very least with Lucius. It seems he would have been one of the ones who may have first brought the gospel to Antioch, as we were told back in chapter 11 that it was men of Cyrene, as we see here with Lucius, a man from Cyrene who were part of the group that brought the gospel up to Antioch. The rest, we don't know. We don't know if they were part of this group that evangelized first to Antioch, or maybe they were some of the citizens that first came to believe in Antioch and then became these teachers, became these prophets. But as we think about sending out from the church, there can be a great concern of losing people. How will we cope with losing leaders and teachers? How will the work continue on? Imagine, as we see here in the Church of Antioch, imagine losing 40% of our elder board. That's what happened there. They may have very well, as we think about Barnabas and Saul, they may have very well lost their best leaders, best teachers in Barnabas and Saul. But there were others left to continue on this work. There were others who would step up and continue God's work in Antioch, having more leaders, more teachers being trained up and brought up through the pipeline. We've done well at Lebanon BFC of seeing generations through the years being raised up to take the place of the older when they step down from roles and positions. And the very same thing can happen if God sends out individuals as missionaries from this church. Others are and will be trained up to take their place. So second, as we think about answering this question, in what manner does this sending take place? What does it look like? What does it look like to send out in this way? Acts 13:3 has it. Takes place after the Holy Spirit speaks to the leaders while they worshiped. It says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. We first see the manner in which they sent them is by praying about this. It says, then after fasting and praying. God had already made clear what they should do. So I don't take this to mean that they're seeking the Lord's will or looking for specifics, but they're praying over them. They are praying for them. There should be a commitment to pray for those we send out. Second, they commission them. It says in Acts 13:3, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them, symbolically showing their support, symbolically showing that God has called them to this particular missionary work. Okay, the leaders of the church and the whole church of Antioch are behind this. It's not that Barnabas and Paul are just kind of leaving on their own, but this is an activity that the leaders take up. They show that they acknowledge God's call on these individuals' lives. They are expressing their part in it, that they are behind Barnabas and Saul by this symbolic act. And as we see God's calling and working in such ways, we should acknowledge them. We should be supportive of those whom God has called to such a task. And third, as we think about the manner, they willingly send them off. As it says in Acts 13:3, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They let them go. We're told of no resistance. Okay, that doesn't mean it wasn't hard. This doesn't mean it had been inappropriate to have sadness as they departed, but I believe we see a willingness from the church of Antioch, from these three other leaders, to let Barnabas and Saul go as the Lord has commanded them to do. This is how we began. So we think about my introduction, considering how you would respond if someone or several from this church were sent out. Could we set aside our own desires and feelings and relationships for the Lord's purposes and plans? So though a short text, this is a text that has some punch. It shows us the bigger picture, and I would say it has a hard call for us to consider. Shows us the bigger picture in that it shows us the grandness of the plan of God. It reveals to us that God is not just working in one church, one place, one city, but God is working all over the world. God desires the gospel to reach far and wide. Such a passage reveals to us that we are not to be building a kingdom here in Lebanon, but we are to be looking to see God's kingdom further. Certainly, we want to see the work continue here in Lebanon. There are kids, there are teens in this church that we need to be sharing the gospel with, teaching, pouring into them. There are believers here at Lebanon BFC that need to continue to be developed. We all need to be developed. We all need to grow in our faith. But we must also have our eyes on and hearts for the outside. Okay, just as we see the Church of Antioch doing, as God made it clear that they were to go out, travel far with the gospel through individuals from their church. Hard call of this passage. I'm going to bring it out in three ways as we think about applying this passage to our lives. First, I would ask you to consider, if God is calling you to this work, to evangelistic church planting, to go from this city to another state, cross the country to another country to preach the gospel and see and develop Christians in a church, has God called you to such a work like he did Barnabas and Saul? And again, as I already said, please talk to me if you believe he may. Second, we must desire this to happen. How might God work if our Sunday school teachers were talking with our church, our children? Not saying they aren't, but if they were talking with our children more about the need for the gospel to go forth, how might God work through our sharing of the people groups who have never heard the gospel? Again, with our children, even with adults. How might God work through the youth mentors, talking with teens about being a missionary? How might God use such a message this morning in an adult's life who has been in a career and calls them to be a missionary? And now third, my challenge to you, to all of us, is to pray for this. Pray for the Lord to send from Lebanon. Pray for the Lord to send from Lebanon BFC if it be his will. Again, it's the Lord's calling. It's the Lord's direction. I'll give you a specific one. I'd ask you to pray for Pastor Wise. Okay, we've made it quite clear that Pastor Wise is probably not going to be here forever. But he desires the church plant, to go out from this church, to start a church and proclaim the gospel in a certain area. I'd ask you to pray for Pastor Wise in this, pray for our elders in this, pray for our church and our involvement in this. Pray that the Lord would raise up a generation to be sent out from this church to spread the gospel, to plant churches. Pray that the Lord would raise up pastors through this church to be sent out. Pray for the boldness to follow such a call. Pray that the Lord would call individuals to be missionaries in another country from Lebanon BFC. Pray for discernment for such a call. Pray that the Lord would make it clear to the elders in all of these callings. Pray that we would be supportive as a church. Pray that Lebanon BFC would seek to fulfill Acts 1:8 to the extent that if it be the Lord's will, he might send out servants from this church to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for such a text. We thank you for its instruction as we think about missionaries, as we think about missions, as we think about the spread of your gospel. Lord, I pray that you would refine our view, that you give us a greater understanding of how you're working, what your purposes are, and Lord, even more so this morning, how they should be fulfilled. Lord, I pray especially as we think about such a text and we think about how we could live it out. Lord, I pray, if it be your will, that you would raise up from among us those who could go out to be part of such works, that you would even bring opportunities to us of sharing areas and maybe works that are beginning that we could be involved in as a church. Help us to be open to such things. Help our leaders and elders to discern your call on someone's life, to discern how you're working. Lord, help us to have a greater understanding of how the church is involved, and even the elders are involved in such things. And Lord, even as I mentioned, I think of Pastor Wise, and Lord, we thank you for his heart to go out, to be a church planter. And Lord, we thank you for now these years that, this year we've had him, and the years that we will have him, to that he gets to serve here, that he gets to pastor here. And but Lord, we do pray for the future, and we pray that you would guide and direct him, help him to know when. Lord, help our elders to know when, and Lord, even just give us great wisdom to even know how our church could be a great support to Pastor Wise. But Lord, we pray that you would, if it be your will, that you would send out from us those who would preach the gospel. Certainly, Lord, all of us who believe in you, to our communities, to unbelievers, as we've heard week after week now. But Lord, in this particular work of going to other areas, maybe hours away, states away, countries away, across seas, Lord, if it be your will, I pray that you would send from Lebanon BFC. Lord, we thank you for this text. We thank you for the challenge it has, and we thank you so much that you are the God who is calling the shots in such things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to listen, to submit to your will. And in your name I pray, amen.